Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to ask you to please turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 18 through 29, and it's about the church of Thyatira and the Lord encouraging them to hold fast. It's Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. Would you please follow along with me as I read? Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your later works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat foods sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart. And I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen potters are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, this morning, as I start, what I wanted to point out is in your bulletin, I put in a couple of things. One was, I found this from John MacArthur, and I think some of you still have the old refrigerator and magnet stuff. I thought it was a good reminder. I liked what John MacArthur or Dr. MacArthur says. Common lies that are in humanity today. Life is random. Truth is relative. People are basically good. Everyone can change if he chooses to, and the goal of life is self-satisfaction. The truth is opposite that. God is sovereign and nothing is random. The Bible is absolute truth. All people are basically sinful, and only Christ can change your life. Selfless submission to Christ is the goal of life. They got it completely wrong. And that's the world we live in. Well, and I put this in about Queen Jezebel. Believe it or not, I was very surprised at the summary of it. It came out of actually the editor of British Britannia Encyclopedia. And I was able to get it and cut it and paste it and go over it. But the point was, I wanted to do this message in two sermons. And I decided, no, I better not. But the point being is, the influence that Jezebel had on the nation of Israel, the 10 tribes in the north, and this is a good summary of it, but that's what's going to be referred to when they refer to Jezebel in our text today, that she had an influence over the nation in the north, in Israel. And now what's going to happen in our passage in Revelation chapter 2 is, here is a lady that came into a church, and she was an influence over the church in misleading and misguiding them, in the same way Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, misled people. Also, as each week I keep putting in an extra next step of information, I have got a whole binder of charts, diagrams, outlines, and things like that that I keep handing you guys each week. This is another one. And this is, in our passages that we're looking at in Revelation chapter 2, there's a formula to Christ's messages, and they're repeated as needed in each one of the churches. And as follows, what we have is he addresses the angel that's over that church, that is to bring the messages to them. Number two is he identifies himself as, remember when we looked at Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 20, he described himself and used different imagery to describe his person. And then as we go through each one of the churches, each one of those imageries that was needed to help them wake up is going to be used. We'll see it again today. And then one of the things he always tells them is, I know about you, as in, you can't hide from me. And also, what we'll see is there's, depending on the church, there's either a rebuke or an encouragement that comes. And then he says what he will do if there's a rebuke or if an encouragement. And today, we're going to see on our list here, number five, he says, I will. Well, he's going to have four I wills in our passage today. In particular, and we'll see those in a minute. Number six, and he says, and it's to the him who overcomes. Everyone who is a believer and trusts in Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ will lead you, guide you, give you all that you need for life and godliness, he says, you are an overcomer. And then also, he, in most of them, not all of them, he always ends with this phrase, he who has an ear to hear. And behind that is this. Here you and I are. We come Sunday, we want to worship the Lord, we want to love the Lord, and Christ is saying, are you actually listening? I'm like you, I can sit in the pews, and I've sat under pastors, and I sit there, and I've nodded off. Yes, that does happen. But are we really listening? As in, I just didn't just hear it, I'm actually being conscious of it, and I'm thinking, I should run away from this, or I should do this, I should apply this truth to me. And that's what's going on. And we're going to see that today once more in Thyatira. And so if you'll notice with me on our opening verse, it's Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. He says, once again, he's going to give him an image. Again, as we saw this, he's going to describe himself to them in his opening statement in verse 18. And it, notice it says, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write. So the angel is supposed to transmit to the people these truths. The words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Where did he get that from? That we already saw that. That was back in Revelation chapter 1. He's just repeating it. He isn't giving us anything new. And it was found in verses 13, 14, and 15, where Jesus was referring to as the Son of Man, who has been given all power and authority. And it was evidenced, how was that evidence that he's been given this power and authority to be our king, the one who leads us and whom we're supposed to follow? He's our husband, we're the bride, we should be following his lead. And so and the evidence is found in these verses, used symbolically in verse 14, eyes that were like a flame of fire and feet were like burnished bronze. And in these two images of Christ speaking of his authority, he is pointing out that he knows that the believers in Thyatira, that they were going through some problems. And he specifically knows their problems. It isn't like, No, he's been there, done that, and he knows what you're going through. And so his eyes are like a flame, referred to his ability to see through everything that you are going through and that they were going through. And then also the bronze feet was an evidence of his ability to be to crush the enemies under his feet, that it was his power and authority. And so then from there, he goes on in verse 19, he says, I know about your faithfulness. I know about your faithfulness. And this is what he says in verse 19. I know. Remember we saw that? That was one of the things that would be part of his theme that he's going to constantly be repeating. I know about you. I know what you're going through. And this is what he says on a positive note about them. He says, I know your works. I know your love. I know you're faithful. I know how you serve. I know how you patiently endure. And that your later works, the present works, are even exceeding your first works. So Christ reminds them that he personally knows what they're going through. He said, I saw them. He says, I saw that the love you have for me. I saw the love you have for other believers. And I saw the love you share with non-believers as you share the gospel with them. Christ also saw their faithfulness to him. He saw their faithfulness to one another in their fellowship. And he saw their faithfulness to speaking up and proclaiming Christ to other people. Christ also recognized their service to the church, to service to one another individually, and their service to the community. Christ also acknowledged their patient endurance while going through difficult times as a body of believers, as the church as a whole, and as an individual. And finally, Christ saw that their efforts in being faithful was still evident in their everyday activities. The way they continued to be active within their fellowship, within their community, and so much so that Christ indicated they were not slouches in their activities and were constantly improving in many areas of their life. Now, if we pause a moment, what a contrast this is to the church in Ephesus. The first one was mentioned where he's saying, you're growing cold. Yeah, you had the information, but you're not doing anything with it. So here they are. There was a group of faithful people. But like everything else in life, something has gone sideways. Notice with me in verse 20 and 21, Christ also knows about the Thyatirans' unfaithfulness. That would have been some who were in the fellowship who were unfaithful in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. And this is Christ speaking up saying, but I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. In verse 21, I gave her time to, and what's the word there? Repent. But what happens? What's the next part? But she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Picture this. Some visitors had come in, become members in the church, in particular a woman by the name of Jezebel. She was recognized in the church as a prophetess, but something had gone horribly wrong within the fellowship. Jezebel was misleading many young believers away from God's word with bad biblical advice. She had come into the fellowship, has been there a while, and now she's sort of worked her way up, has become respected, recognized by the people in the fellowship. And she was prophesying and teaching and counseling people now, many believers with flawed and twisted biblical truths, which led many in the church to be confused as to what was right and what was wrong. She was teaching a form of syncretism. Syncretism is S-Y-N-C-R-E-T-I-S-M. Syncretism. Syncretism is simply this. It's where you mix one religion with another. You're mixing one truth with another one, and you're making a stew out of it. Well, her prophesying was basically off the mark, or should I say was off the mark, which resulted in many believers being upset, confused, and frustrated, resulting in them starting to follow her practices of sexual immorality along with her, and also eating food that was sacrificed to idols. And this is where I'm going to ask you to please turn with me to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 23. This is the Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's his first great recognized sermon that we have, and what he is going to tell us is going to pop up in our passage in Revelation. All right, so we're going to go here. Jesus has already preached this. Picture this. Jesus is preaching this around 25 A.D. It's about 25 or 30 A.D., right in that beginning year. And then when we read Revelation, that's 95 A.D. So Christ is preaching it as his first sermon. And then now, how many 50 plus 60 years later? This same problem is popping up, and this is the problem that Jesus says you and I need a heads up for. This is what the church in Thyatira needed a heads up for. Notice what it says with me. It's Matthew chapter 7, and I'll start reading in verse 15. Beware of false prophets, and I'm going to interject like Jezebel, who came to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Every healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Verse 19, every tree that does not bear good, and I'm going to interject spiritual, fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. We will hear this in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 22 and 23 in a moment. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. And then verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, and may I interject, within your fellowship, will enter the kingdom of God, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me from our fellowship, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, and I personally believe these are going to be the most horrible words that will ever be uttered, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That would have been from in the fellowship. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, Jezebel fits this warning passage perfectly. Now, I'm going to extend this a minute and give you a little bit of a background for the city of Thyatira. It was known for its bronze smelting. They would make brass items, and they were very, very good at it. So the bronze smelters in Thyatira set up a guild, a union. The purpose of the guild was to economically support one another with good wages. And to be part of that guild in Thyatira at that time, you needed to participate in the sacrifices of gods that were part of that guild. For that, it was the idea of the gods that would allow you to form metals and stuff like that. Anyways, in this way, you were showing your support to the guild through your faithfulness to the gods of the guild, which blessed your craftsmen and therefore your financial security. For the believers in Thyatira who were bronze craftsmen, this would have made it extremely difficult to participate in the guild, and therefore extremely difficult to make and sell bronze products. So as you can imagine, the believers of the who were bronze craftsmen, they knew how to smelt, take the raw ore and turn it into bronze or brass, and then shape it into something, whatever was useful. If you were not part of the guild, well, you'd have a difficult time. So now what are they going to do? They are saying is, well, if I can't do that, how will I be able to support my family and how will I be able to make a living? Well, now I'd like to give us an example of the way Jezebel might have said something to these believers in the fellowship. Now, she's a prophetess. She's recognized in the church. And so during the church service, she would prophesy during the meeting, saying, a word of the Lord has just come to me. And the Lord says, it's okay to practice in the guild's offering to the gods as long as you don't believe it. Just go through the motions of worship with them to the gods, and all will be well. This way, you are in the guild, and you can still love the Lord, and don't worry about the immoral sexual acts that are involved in the guild's rituals and rites for the gods. But as we know, that is not how the Lord saw it. Her prophetic insights were not coming from the Lord at all. And well, how do we know what the Lord approved or didn't approve of her her spiritual insights? Well, that would be the next verse. It's Revelation chapter 2 and verse 21. And it says, I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Jezebel did not want to change her ways. For whatever reason, we'll never know. But the Lord had made it abundantly clear that she refused to listen to the word of God and change her ways. And that goes back to the passage we just looked at a minute ago, back in Matthew chapter 7 and in verses 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. And this is what she was doing. She was misleading them. Well, the elders in the church of Thyatira should have picked up on this syncretism, mixing the one religion in Thyatira with Christianity. But Christ does give the church a warning. Notice what it says now in verse 22 and 23. Now, remember, Christ was speaking to the faithful brothers and sisters in the city. And he says, I want you to listen, and that I know what you're going through, but listen what's going on. So Christ says to the believers four times, I will. And in our bulletin, that little handout I gave you, it would be number 5, where he says, and you'll hear it over and over at the different churches, this is what I will do. I know what you're doing. This is what I will respond with. Either it'll be an encouragement or a rebuke or a warning. And so listen to what he says to this group of people that are meeting together in their fellowship in this city in Thyatira. Behold, or your Bible might have, therefore, I will throw her onto a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her. I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works, that will be the false prophecies and her counsel. Verse 23, I will strike her children dead, that was those who follow her counsel, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. So let's start with the first one. In verse 22, Christ's first warning of I will is she will start to be ill, and it was going to happen soon. And the same would be true of everyone who followed her teachings. We are not sure what the sickness was. We can only speculate. My speculation would be that it might have been something to relate with adultery, having relationships. That might have been an illness coming from that. Further on, Christ's second warning of I will is everyone who follows her teaching was about to face extremely difficult times, as in he calls it great tribulations. Now, none of us know what those particular great tribulations were, but I know this. I don't think any one of us want to receive Christ's wrath today, as in what they may have received at their time, just because we're being disobedient. But notice with me what Christ did say next. The idea was, unless they repent of her works. And may I say at this time, this is always the answer in regards to our unbelief or disbelief. The answer is to repent and to turn our ways back to the Lord. Find that piece of passage from the Word that will help you in whatever area of frustration, sin, whatever it might be, to give you that tool to do it and correct it and to do it right so you can be pleasing to the Lord. And what I would like to mention is that the time of God's mercy is still available to anyone up until the time of your death and the second advent of Christ. Christ is more merciful than the power of your sin in your life. We may not feel that way, but that's just us following our own wrong thinking. If you'll notice with me, in verse 23, he says, I will strike the children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. In verse 23, he leads us to believe that the church, that he loves us, he loves those in the church, and that he, there has been a problem, that the children there is not physically, it is a reference to all striker children, those the children of those who are following her, the gang of people that liked what she was doing. And what I think is, I don't know about you guys, what scares me as a person is to know that the Lord knows my thoughts. He says, I am he who searches mind and heart. Now, I will use a phrase generally. I say, well, I know you. I know the way you act. I know the way you joke around. You're kidding. I've been around some guys that their kidding and joking was, man, it was more like a switchblade. It's like, ooh. And then there was other guys that were just really funny. But you know them. You know the way they walk. You can pick them out down the hall. You don't see they're walking away. The way they waddle back and forth. You know them. You know their characteristics. And someone will say to you, well, what are they like? Oh, you know, they're like this. Well, Christ goes beyond that. He knows those things that you're thinking in your mind that you're not speaking. Those things where you bite your tongue and, I'd like to give you a piece of my mind. He knows that. He knows the thought and the intent of your heart. And I don't know about you guys, that scares me to death. He knows your thoughts, and he knows if you're faithful or not, or if you're faking it. In this case, Christ found many in the church that had been deceived by Jezebel, and their minds and their hearts been filled with her false teaching, which fit their situation, as in, I can follow these gods and go along with this with the guild, and she believed her advice. Because following Christ doesn't always nice and neatly fit your circumstance. Well, it does, but you don't like what you're thinking might be the outcome. That's the problem. I didn't want it to come out this way. It's not the way I imagined it. And that became the problem. So, well, anyways, now the teachings of Christ was nothing new. Him telling them about he's searching your mind and your heart. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 17. And I'm going to read verses 5 through 14. Because we're going to see this was the truth that was spoken with Jeremiah to a sinful group of people. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 14. This was Israel in the north. Judah in the south. And they're about to go into Babylonian captivity. And here Jeremiah is prophesying and saying, you've got to make corrections. And we're going to see this same problem that's happening in Thyatira. So it's nothing new. And Christ is pointing out this idea that I know what's going on in your mind. Listen to what it says. It's Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus the Lord says, cursed is the man who trusts in men and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Like what Jezebel was encouraging the people in Thyatira. So this is nothing new, is it? Verse 6 says, he, that's the unbeliever, is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. So the person who's following other ideas is like going through a dry desert instead of following the Lord. Verse 7, and this is the blessing that Jeremiah is talking about to these people who are about to go into captivity. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water, as in you won't be thirsty, that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear any heat comes, as in when the temperature rises and it's hot summer and it's drying out, it's still getting nourishment from the water. But it's not like in the desert where it has nothing. For it leaves remain green during those drought times and is not anxiously in the years of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Remember, Jeremiah was speaking about believers' relationship with the Lord and remaining obedient even when going through their troubles. Babylonian captivity was going to come on them. They saw it. They saw it coming. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? As in, what can I do without working as a brass craftsman in the guild in Thyatira? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. And what does he test? Your mind. He knew them back there. He's telling them, I know what's going on. So we see it there. And he says, it goes on in the verse, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Like the partridge that gathers a brood, which he did not hatch, so is he who gets riches, but not by justice, as in doing it God's way. In the midst of his days, they will leave him, and at his end, he will be a fool. Like the craftsman in Thyatira's day who had joined the Bronze Guild to make their living, they were following Jezebel's advice. Verse 12, Jeremiah 17, 12, a glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the God of Israel, all who forsake you, Lord, shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth. That's you're going to be in the grave. For they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living water. The answer that we are looking for is repent and turn to the Lord. Rely on the Lord. Will your circumstance always feel comfortable that you're going through as you follow the Lord? No, it will not. It will always feel, because you are living in a fallen world, and the fallen world is always going to follow after Satan in its fallen nature. He is the king and prince and the power of this air. And what is his purpose? Always to deceive the world. And he deceives us by thinking, I need something else. But what happens? He will always use something that will be either fear or lust in your life. And it doesn't. I won't be able to provide for my family. I won't be able to use my craft. Oh, no, I don't know. And if it isn't that, it will be following after something that you will lust after. If it's drugs or alcohol or if it's sex or if it's gambling, it doesn't matter. He's going to try to lead you away somehow, some way. And so what do we see when we get back to Revelation chapter 23? And it was the last half of that. And it says, and the church will know that I am he who searches, and it says, your mind and your heart. And then he says what? I will give each of you according to your works. He is going to accurately, justly come and say, I know what you did. I know everything. I've recorded it in my books. And I'm going to be fair. I'm not going to say, oh, you didn't do this and or you didn't do that. No, I'm going to be fair about it. And so he says to you, he says, it's going to be according to your works. And since the Lord knows each of us and what we have done, that would be considered good or evil. He will judge equitably and give each of us whatever we deserve, either rewards or judgment. This truth is universal. It was true in Jeremiah's time with Israel. It was true in Thyatira's time. And it is still true today. Christ will judge you using your own mind and heart as his starting point. And so what does he say in verses 24 and 25? Because Christ didn't stop there. To those who are faithful, he says this in verse 24, but to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you, I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Hold fast what you have until I come. What Jezebel was promoting to the believers in Thyatira was obviously not acceptable to the Lord. She, like many false teachers, were popping up all around Asia. And may I say, they're still popping up all around us today as well, making all kinds of claims of some kind or another regarding a higher spirituality or a better insight, or somehow mixing one religion with another as it may suit you for your advantage instead of staying on the straight and narrow path. And as we can see, the Lord knows what was going on behind the scenes, how some individuals have ulterior motives and taking advantage of others. But here, Christ is encouraging those who are the faithful in Thyatira, and not getting caught up with some scheme by Jezebel, promoting some deeper knowledge and greater insight for those who are desperate and for those who are truly needy. That's the problem. The temptation is they're offering you an out that is not biblical. And it seems good. It seems easier. But Jesus simply says, don't get fooled by her teaching. Don't worry yourselves with this false teaching about the deeper things. Yes, be spiritually awake, know the word, and hold fast to it until I come. For you will see that this is your greatest comfort and your greatest consolation. And so he gives a promise. Notice what the promise is. It's in verses 26, 27, and 28. To the one who conquers, that will be Christ's believers, and who keeps my words until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father and will give him the morning star. Turn with me to Psalm 2. The reason I'm asking to turn to Psalm 2 is he just promised you and me, the believer, the people in Thyatira, the promise that the Father in heaven gave him. It's Psalm chapter 2, and it's verses 7, 8, and 9, and it's particularly verse 8, but the whole section is what we need to look at. He just promised to every believer a promise that the Father gave him. And he says, once you follow me, I'm giving it to you. So it's Psalm chapter 2, and it's going to be verse 7. I tell you the decree. So this is the Lord said to me, to Christ, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and this is it, I will make the nations your inheritance, and the ends of the earth your possession. Verse 9, you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's wheel. Christ was promised that he would be victorious by the Father, and he just needed to remain faithful to the word of God and not follow every Tom, Dick, and Jezebel that came along who was attempting to make every day their lives physically a little bit better, emotionally a little bit better. Did Christ follow the word of God? Yes, he did. Did he fulfill the word of God? Yes, he did. Did he receive the nations as his inheritance? Yes, he did. He has ascended into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father with all power and authority. He is now talking to the people in Thyatira and giving them the promise, follow me, hold fast, and you too will be given this power and authority. This is my promise to you. Follow me in the same way I followed my Father in heaven. Do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Yes, that is your answer. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It is that simple, and it is also that difficult. Christ wants us to be faithful to him, and it will be difficult to follow him when you hear some influence from somewhere else. You will be tempted to go along with it. It may sound pleasing. It may sound helpful. But this is where you and I need to be steeped in the word and in our faith enough to say, no, that is not the correct thing to do. You need to know the difference. But that takes time and maturity. That's why it's difficult. Because what happens, you will make a wrong decision, and then you'll have to backtrack and correct it and start all over again. So it is that simple, and it is that difficult. And then with that, he says, you will receive the blessing. Verse 28, I will give him the morning star. Well, what is the morning star? It's found in Revelation 22. And in verse 16, Revelation 22:16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches, for believers. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. He is pointing out that he is that one. He is your compass. He's that one that's there for you. Jesus just told the faithful in Thyatira to hold on, hold fast to the teachings of the Word of God and not follow everyone that comes along with a new story or something, a new scheme that may somehow interest you. You and I need to hold fast to the end, to the truths that you and I do know and not give way. And to the one he's made this promise, he's saying, you will hold on to him, that bright morning star. You will hold on to him. He's your husband. He's the one you follow because he is the faithful husband that will lead you to, and can I say, to the promised land. He's the one. He is that star. He's that one that has captured your mind. He's captured your heart and captured your soul. And what does verse 29 say to us? Would someone read that for me?
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says.
May I ask you, do you have an ear? And are you listening? I hope you are. Because this is where your blessings will come from, your encouragements will come from, and your help and your hope that is found in Christ. Shall we close in prayer? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that Christ gave to these believers who were wrestling and fighting with just normal life things, trying to make a living. There were faithful people in the church, and you encourage them to hold fast. Our Father in heaven, we too, we are wrestling with different things. We are not craftsmen that make bronze items, but we are faithful servants here in Willington, and our need is to be faithful to you through the trials, the temptations, the frustrations that come our way. And may we hold fast, and may we hear what the Spirit says to us for your honor and for your glory. And we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.